As those of you who are in the nave, so I hope you can see me. I'll stand over this candle. So this is the time of year when children up and down the land, and maybe their parents too, are getting ready for nativity plays. Is anyone here taking part in a nativity play this year? Now you see, we're all much too... Oh, one person, one brave person at the back. Excellent. One of the women who attends this cathedral church is a teacher, and she teaches really little children, and she's preparing a nativity play. And she said to me, "Catherine, I like to give the children some choice about the role that they play." Personally, I thought this was high-risk strategy. How is she ever going to get a Joseph? In my experience, that's a hard part to cast. But a little boy, just a little tot, just probably four and a half years old, put his hand up and said, Miss, I know what I want to play. I want to be a leopard. A leopard. And I thought, maybe they're doing one of these nativity plays where the whole zoo turns up, you know? And there'll be a child dressed as a lobster. And it's one of those. But it wasn't. It wasn't that she was doing that sort of nativity, but this little boy had just got his words muddled up. He didn't mean leopard. What did he mean? Shepherd. He just got the words muddled up. Isn't that just adorable? But when I thought about it, I thought, well, fair dues. This little boy, growing up in Birmingham, has he ever seen a shepherd? I mean, surely for him, a shepherd, the whole concept of a shepherd is going to be as exotic and as odd and as far away as a leopard, really. So when I thought about this dear little boy, I'm thinking he was going to dress up as a leopard, but she was going to try to break the news to him gently he was going to be a shepherd. And what was he going to make of that? I thought about this little boy and I thought, I really hope that in being in this nativity play, and over the years when he's in his nativity plays, I really hope that he comes to understand something a bit different. If we just think about this beautiful crib that Steve Rainbow made for us, hurrah for Steve, he's so resourceful. When we look at this crib scene, the whole point about the nativity is that it isn't something exotic and far away. The problem for us is it might seem that way. A stable, a long way away, a long time ago, and then these magi turn up, and it's all exotic and far away. But that isn't the point of Christmas. And in our imaginations, we need to just make this leap. But the whole point of this, the whole point of Christmas, is that God doesn't want to be far away and exotic. God wants to be here, among us. Christmas is about God wanting to be with us. And actually, part of everything that's completely normal and ordinary in our lives, that's where God wants to be, not far away. And that's the point of Christmas every year. So that we celebrate Christmas knowing that Jesus isn't just going to be born a long way away in Bethlehem, but Jesus is going to be born here in Birmingham, and that God is asking us to open our hearts and our minds to allow his love to come into our lives. That's the point of Christmas, and that's the point I hope that little boy learns as he grows up, that Christmas is about here and now. That's the Christmas message for Christians, that God wants to be that close. He wants to be in our hearts and lives. That's the Christian belief about Christmas. Now, we live in a glorious, diverse city where people have many faiths and none. And I'm sure some of you are from other faith backgrounds. But we share this commitment, don't we? That if we can open our hearts and our minds to love one another, then the world will be a better place. And I think that's what we're doing tonight, whatever our faith background. I think that's what we're doing tonight. opening our lives to other people. We're opening our minds and our hearts to one another to spend the night together in the cathedral square. But we're also opening our hearts and minds to just think and try to empathise with young people in our city who need support. And as we saw earlier this evening, with some support can achieve wonderful things. So I really believe that what we're doing this evening is opening our hearts and our minds and our lives to one another and to those who just need some help. And in so doing, we are making love grow in our city. And this is actually at the heart of Christmas, that love should grow and abound in this place, and that this city and the world will be a better place. Thank you for your part in this. And I do hope that when Christmas comes, you continue to open your minds and your hearts to God's love. And that you, whether you're a shepherd or a leopard, have a most wonderful Christmas.
Thanks, Catherine. That's a wonderful focus for us tonight. Now, before we sing our concluding carol, there's an opportunity just to be quiet for prayer. And sometimes when there's quiet for prayer, this time of night or early in the morning, you just doze off. Well, that's all right. That can be very healing. And you never know what God might say to you in your dreams. But let's just be quiet for a moment. I'll lead us in some thoughts and prayer, and then we'll sing our final song. And the building is open throughout the night, and so you may, if you are uncomfortable, wake up early, might want to come in and be quiet again and pray. Let's pray. Are now flourishing in their lives. And we pray for that day when there will be no more youth homelessness in our land. We thank you for those who stand alongside young people as they develop. And we pray for those tonight who are at risk of becoming homeless or without shelter. Pray that there will be an intervention in their lives before that happens. We thank you that you've brought us together tonight for this particular purpose. And we pray for each one of us here that our own lives will continually be transformed by the love of God and our deep compassion for suffering humanity. We pray for those who lead us in our organisations, our employers, or in our political life. We thank you for those who serve in government, both local and national. And we pray that those who have difficult decisions to make about resources will be wise and just. And a moment of quiet as we take this opportunity to remember anyone on our hearts or minds who are in particular need of our prayers tonight. Just a moment of silence, and you can name them in the silence of your heart before God. We thank you for those who have much to celebrate tonight, but we also pray for those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Pray that you will comfort them and bring joy out of their troubles. As we conclude our prayers, if you wish to join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, it's written on the back of your hymn sheets. Saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.